Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I'm your fat host, Ash, and happy holidays. It's Christmas, so exciting. Taking a little bit of time myself, but I have the rest of the episode with Brittany, the person I talked to last episode. She was the rideshare driver. She's super funny. But I have the rest of that episode for you. So I wanted to make sure you had a nice, entertaining pod to listen to when you're doing your holiday driving. So here it is. I'm going to start with our Big Fig advertisement, just so I don't have to interrupt. But I hope you enjoy. What up, what up, what up? Just kidding. I'm going to take a quick break to talk about Big Fig. As you guys know, I love my Big Fig mattress, and the colder it gets, the harder it is for me to get out of bed in the morning because this bed is so comfortable. And I've had it for over a year and I'm still just as in love with it. There's not a single dip in it. It doesn't creak or moan or move under me. The frame is so sturdy. It has never made me feel unsafe at all. And this is just the best mattress I've ever slept on. And it's made for me. It's made for fat people. It features hybrid technology with 1600 pocketed springs and memory foam for comfort and support. And maybe my favorite feature are those reinforced sidewalls, because I like to sit on the edge of my bed. And most of the time on old mattresses, anytime I would sit on the bed, I would start to feel it breaking down under me. This just does not happen on the Big Fig. The side is still sturdy and firm underneath me. And when I go to bed at night, it doesn't feel like I've been sitting on the edge. I am in love with this bed, and I will never sleep on anything else. And I don't have to, because there's a 20-year warranty. Go to bigfigmattress.com to learn more about this bed and use the code FATLIP at checkout to get $100 off of your purchase and to let them know that I sent you. Get the first bed that was made for a bigger figure with Big Fig.
Oh man, it's a mess. But yeah, so that's all my rideshare stories that I have to share with you. But I can tell you about stuff my granny has said.
Love to hear it.
I know you love her, Ash, like her stories. Now, she is an old school woman, and she is definitely has troubles with me being fat, like, and she has been chubby her whole life, and I think it's like caused her issues. And so she thinks, like, she's one of those women that thinks like tough love is the way to go, you know?
Yeah
Like, if I'm ever feeling sorry for myself, I do not call her. You know? Like, I'll call one of my friends or something, like somebody, like I'll call my dad, and my dad will be like, I'm so sorry, baby, you know, like that kind of thing. But like, I moved into this apartment, and I had I don't know why I do this, but every time I move, somehow I end up moving with like majority dirty clothes.
I
don't understand how that always happens. Like, you'd think like wash your clothes before you get somewhere. I don't know why. So I moved in, had the washer and dryer set up, and I went to the store and I got two things of fabric softener instead of one thing of detergent and one thing of fabric softener. And so I come home, I'm exhausted. I have to work. I have no clean clothes. And then I go to wash clothes and I realize I've gotten two fabric softeners on accident. And I dissolve into this puddle of tears. So for some reason, I decided to call my granny. And I said, Granny, I need to take a shower. I don't have any clean clothes. I didn't buy detergent. I didn't do any of this stuff. I'm freaking out. Everything's falling apart. I don't know what to do. And she said, girl, take a shower and get your butt in the bed. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just, like, no, like, I'm so sorry. Everything's going to be great tomorrow. Just, like, shut it down, you little dummy. Like, just go to bed. Yes. Girl, take a shower and get your butt in the bed. I was like, okay. But one time we were visiting her a couple years ago for Thanksgiving, and everything was, like, so sweet on the way up. She was so excited to see us. We called multiple times on the way there. We're at this landmark. We're here. We're only a couple hours away. And she asked us to stop at Cracker Barrel to get food for her. Well, it was Thanksgiving, and they sell out of turkey plates, like, really early. Mm-hmm. And so my mom had not thought to call ahead and reserve plates for us. So when we got there, all they had available was fish. So my mom got 3 fish plates. And we got back in the car and we drove there. So we get to the house and we bring in the food, and she does not even say, like, hey, I love y'all. Like, doesn't give us a hug. She goes, that smells terrible.
No.
When she sees the bag, and I was like, oh. And so I just explained what happened. You know, hey, it's, you know, Thanksgiving. They ran out of everything, but mom got us fish plates. And, you know, they have the sides and stuff that you wanted. So she opens it up and, like, wrinkles her little nose and then pokes at it with her plastic fork a little bit, and then goes and gets a bag of popcorn and makes popcorn and grabs a Coke from the refrigerator and goes and sits in the living room. Like, not only will she not deign to eat our disgusting food that we stopped for in a madhouse at Cracker Barrel on Thanksgiving, but, like, won't even sit with us any longer. And when I come in to talk to her afterwards, she leans over and grabs my hand and looks at me so sweetly and says, Brittany, the Lord's coming back and you don't even have a husband.
Oh, no. Wait, does the Lord need you to have a husband?
I guess so. I guess. Well, maybe it's like, look, you haven't accomplished jack shit in your life, the least of which is a family. And Jesus is about to come back. So I was like, oh.
Oh, no.
I know. So she's got a lot of it. But did you want me to tell the cat story?
Yes, please.
Okay, because that one is a doozy.
It's my favorite.
I'm so glad that you liked it. She's so funny. So, again, I think this all revolves around, I should not call her when I move to new places, because I'm in the apartment that I'm in right now, and when I moved in, I absolutely hated it. It's like small and old, and I just felt like at my age, I should be in a nicer place. You know, it's mm-hmm. like one of those things where you, like, put unrealistic expectations on yourself. And
the
so
at my age thing, like, as if, because we're all, like, taught that that means something, but it doesn't.
Yeah, like, I should be further ahead, you know, like, that kind of thing, which I understand. Like, I'm on my own timeline, and, like, I try to tell myself, like, just because you're blooming later does not mean that it won't be as beautiful, you know, like, sometimes, like, remind myself, but sometimes it's hard, like, when you're, you know, in a place that you don't necessarily like, and you're by yourself, you know, it's a little difficult.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
For some reason, I called her, and we were talking about just life and stuff, and she said, you know, what do you think about your new apartment, girl? And I said, I don't like it. It was built a long time ago, so it's older, and you know, just feel like it feels like it smells weird to me, like the closets smell weird and stuff like that. So I was like giving her this laundry list of stuff I don't like, and she goes, well, at least your apartment ain't got rats. And I said, oh my God, Gran, does your apartment have rats? And she said, well, no, this apartment don't have rats, but when I moved here, I lived in a basement apartment, and I bought a couch secondhand, and your uncle brought his kids over, and they tried to open it to sleep on it, and he said, well, Mom, we can't sleep on this couch. It's got rats in it. And I thought, well, Lord Jesus. So I moved out of that apartment, and I moved into a trailer home, and I brought my oven, and wouldn't you know, that rat had made a home in my oven. And I knew it was there because I had a jar of Reese's Pieces and he ate all the peanut butter and left the chocolate. And I was like, okay. And she said, well, I called Gary and he came out, and Gary is my mom's cousin, so I guess he's like my second cousin. So I called Gary and he came out and pulled that oven out on the back porch and was pulling all the insulation out of the back of it. And when he got to the end, that rat jumped out and ran to the river. That was a river rat. But after a while, I was like, okay, girl. But after a while, I guess that rat wanted to come back, and I knew he was back because he was running around eating candy in my house. And I asked Phyllis, who was her sister, if I could have a cat to take care of that rat. So she gave me one, and I was coming out of the bathroom getting ready from church, and that cat was yowling and snarling at my bedside drawer. And I thought, Lord Jesus, I know that rat's not in there eating my candy canes. And I opened the drawer, and that rat jumped out, and the cat ran after him. And then I jumped on my bed, and I was butt naked, and I called Phyllis and said, oh, come get me. This rat's running around, and the cat's chasing it. So Phyllis come over, and we put down glue traps, and I spent the night with her. And then when we came back the next day, sure enough, that rat was caught in the glue trap, and Phyllis beat it to death with a crowbar. So then she said, so maybe call me next time you got a rat in your side drawer eating candy. And I was like, oh, okay. So nobody can have a bad time unless it's specifically like the bad time that you had.
Oh, man.
She's so funny. She really is. She, she grew up in Kentucky. So her mom was a full-blooded Native American, like indigenous woman. And she married her dad, who is an Irish immigrant. And they had a bunch of kids, I think like six. And then when my granny was 12, her mom passed away. So my granny dropped out of school to raise her younger brothers and sisters. So she has an elementary school education. And she grew up, raised these kids, had three children of her own, and went through a divorce in a time where it was very taboo to do so. Like, my mom never lived in the same house with her dad. And has, you know, she worked multiple jobs to provide for these kids. And so she's had a really, really hard life. And, you know, she used to tell me when I was younger that if I would stay thin, that I would get a very attractive husband when I was young and not have to live a hard life like her. So I think that they have very backwards, like, perceptions of, you know, the way things were and are and stuff like that. But when I came home with the first man that I had met that actually preferred to date fat women, because for the majority of my adult life, I've dated dudes on the DL that I met on online dating sites, you know? And so when I met the first man that I had ever dated that like preferred fat women, but he was also like very handsome, she was like shocked, like out of her mind. Like, I cannot believe this handsome man is dating you, you know, like that kind of thing. So it's been an interesting kind of evolution to come into my own and come into my self as a fat woman, but also like still love people who have a lot of self hate issues regarding their weight. And so it's just, it's a lot to handle. And I think it's really wild here because now, are you from Texas or is that?
No, I'm actually from Indiana, like Northern Indiana.
So I knew that you went to Texas a lot, so I didn't know if you were like raised Southern, but like here, everything is around food. Like you go out and eat with people. That's how you meet up with them. Or when people are sick, you bring food. When people get married, you bring food. When people have babies, you bring food, you know, like that kind of thing. So everything is revolved around food, but it's also like, oh, this is bad and we shouldn't be eating it. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's such a weird thing because it's like, this is what we do, but it's also like everybody thinks it's a negative thing. So it's a very hard way to be.
Yeah. Like, internalized fat phobia is like hardest because it's like with your family, it's like, you yeah. know, that they feel the way they do about being fat because they have shame about themselves being fat, or like
yes.
have felt like that they have struggled with it their whole lives, and that, you know, like, society tells people that if you're fat, that you should be ashamed. And yeah. so it's hard because, like, they have fat phobia, but it's also like mostly focused inward, and you don't want to traumatize them further and like make them feel bad about, you know, the things that they say, because like they're also damaged by fat phobia. So it's hard. And like, I've experienced it with my own family and my own mom, and
yeah,
like my grandmother was my favorite person in the entire world, and she was fat and hated being fat, and her whole life, just, well, not her whole life, she became fat as an adult. She was thin as a child, and like until she started having kids, that's when she got fat. But
yeah,
but like, she's the one that would put me on diets and stuff, and but like, I don't, but like, I can recognize that that was all her own issues with her own body, and like, she just didn't want me to feel the way that she felt. And
yeah,
like, that was her biggest fear, is like that I would have a hard life like she had had a hard, because, you know, I looked like she did. And yeah,
I think that's yeah. very similar with my granny too. Yeah.
And it's hard because like you want to stand up for yourself, but you also like have passion for that, their perspective and how difficult they've had it, and how they just see that everything that's happened to them, they think that it could have been changed if they were thin. And like,
yeah,
it's hard because you can't tell them any different. And a lot of times, like, you can't tell an older person that, like, no, you don't understand. Like, if you were thin, you still would have gone through these things, because, like, it doesn't.
You'd have just gone through them thin. Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
As someone who has fought very hard to get to a place where I am happy as I am, it's so hard to hear, you know, someone that is much smaller than you, like, talk about how disgusting their body is, because like you said, mm-hmm. it's towards themselves, but it feels very personal to me. Like, totally, if you feel this totally. Way about yourself, what do you think about when you look at me, you know? And like, mm-hmm. Just, you know, saying things are cheat food or bad food, or, you know, like, it's so scary. And then like having kids and teaching them this thing, you know, like, so it's yeah. like it's perpetuating this cycle, and like, it's really hard. I wish I was, you know, more learned, I guess, and had like really profound things to say, but all I know is that sometimes it's super difficult to love yourself when you see people that are constantly around you that claim they love you but can't love themselves, and they look, you know, different than you, like more appealing to society than you do. You know, like,
yeah, totally
struggle, but it's still,
I hate this moralization of foods, and especially with kids, like,
it sucks.
It worries me so much, because kids at younger and younger ages are like being taught that certain foods are bad, and yeah. And it's just has such potential to be so damaging, and just worries me. So, like, you know, when you're around that are being taught things like that, just like, be like, tell them that you're fat and that's okay, and it's okay to have a belly, and it's just holding all your organs in, like
just like a normal, yeah, a normal body. I think that's, you know, that's something my sister-in-law is. One of my closest friends, so I got really lucky, and we talk about our size and our weight constantly, and it's just, it's frustrating, because she's told me before, like, when I was younger and still fatter than her, but didn't know, I don't know, just wasn't as self-aware, or didn't understand that other people struggled as well. Like, I used to tease her when she would say that she was uncomfortable with her weight, you know, like, you're way smaller than me. And she's like, Brittany, I can be smaller than you and still feel uncomfortable. So now I'm like, oh God, everyone hates themselves or hates something about their body and is embarrassed. So it's like you said, now we're teaching kids this when you've got all manner of adults from, you know, models to Infinifats that don't like something about themselves. But I'm seeing like a higher uptick in super large people that are like, okay, I'm accepting that this is what it is, you know, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I look like. But she asked me about the recent changes and how I've been more comfortable with myself. And like, I mean, I used to not leave my house unless I had, you know, two pairs of Spanx on and, you know what I'm saying? Like was very like, and I would not eat in public because I didn't want people to like, say anything about portions or the particular food I chose or anything like that. So she said, like, you know, what's helped you? And I told her that, you know, finding people online that were my size. I follow people on Instagram that look like me now. I see people post photos of their naked bodies and their bare bellies and their, and it, at first it made me cringe, just like it made me cringe to look in my own mirror, you know? And I was like, how do these people like think that they look good? And then the more I saw it, the more normal it looked to me. It's just like, that's exactly what people do to us with magazines and models, you know? That's why that's so normalized to us. So if everybody would try to look at people that look like them or look at their own naked body, like take photos of yourself and keep them in your phone and look at them, you know? Because I think it really helps you come to terms with what you actually look like. And now I don't do the thing where I ask people to delete photos that they've taken of me or take them from a different angle or let me stand behind someone, because two pairs of Spanx and a camera angle is not going to change what I look like. And right. I have to live every single day in this body, and I refuse to hate myself anymore.
Yeah. Like unfortunately so many of us have lived that where just hating what they see in the mirror and like photos, always feeling terrible about how they look in photos. But like, that's the body you live in. And like, if you're going to let, you know, a terrible photo dictate the way you live your life, like, then you're missing out on so much, like so much.
Yeah.
And so like, just your body and see what it is. And like, I think that, you know, as more and more of us that are super fat and Infinifat put ourselves on the internet, like more, it's helping women so quickly. Like when I did the Infinifat in February thing, that was just in February. And like immediately women started coming out and like talking about like how powerful it was and stuff. And it's like,
that's awesome.
It's hard because like, you never really think when you're at home, like I live alone, like, you're at home in your apartment and you're like, oh, I might take a photo of myself. Maybe I'll post it on the internet. You never think when that's happening that it's going to help anyone.
Right.
Like it instantly does. Like every time I take a full length photo of myself in clothes, even like women message me and are just like, wow, like seeing a person that looks like me is so important. Like it changes because for so long we felt like we just had to hide, or we shouldn't leave our houses, or like go outside, somebody's going to say something. And it's like seeing someone else that looks like you just living a regular life. Like it doesn't have to be profound. It's just like seeing your own body reflected is so powerful. And
it really is.
And it can really change so much for so many people. So absolutely. I hope more and more people share themselves, share photos of themselves. I know it's hard. And like, I, in the past few months, have not posted much on Instagram, and just because like things that I've been going through, and also like I'm like one of those people that's like very privacy paranoid. So like every time like any of these weird privacy things come up on the news, like it freaks me out.
Yeah.
And so and like I also like have this, my husband and I have this pending immigration case going, and so I don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. And so I've really backed off on it, but like every time I post something, somebody messages me to say that it mattered to them. And like, if it only matters to one person, then it was totally worth, you know, taking a photo of myself that day. And like, it doesn't take any effort.
It doesn't. And like you said, just like your regular outfit, like you don't have to be naked. Do you watch Schitt's Creek?
No, I don't. I've heard it's great.
Oh my God, you have to immediately, because you would love it. Like, it's hilarious. But there's a character named Moira, and she urges one of the women on the show to take 1,000 naked photos of yourself. Because one day you're going to be like, I looked amazing. Like, you're going to look at yourself with kinder eyes and be like, I looked mm-hmm. incredible. And that's exactly how I feel like at every stage of my life thus far. I've always been like, oh my God, I hated myself when I was 19, but I have the best ass and the best boobs in the world, you know? And mm-hmm. I wish that I had more than one fucking picture of that, because I was too scared to get in front of the camera. And I can't, like, I don't want to live that way anymore. And we talked about, like, you know, mental health and stuff. Like, I'm not saying, like, if you have anxiety or agoraphobia or mental illness of any capacity, depression, whatever, that you should feel bad about like not being able to go out. But what I'm saying is, like, taking photos of yourself, even if it's in your apartment, and like seeing other people that look like you, like, can help you so much. Like, seeing women that have my same body that were naked online helped me. But other people, you know, you don't have to be naked. You can have your clothes on. You can do your outfits of the day. I love seeing women that are the largest sizes and towards clothes post their outfits of the day online, because it looks totally different, and I can see what I would look like in those clothes, and I appreciate that kind of stuff too. So it's not just you know, like naked, but that's what worked to like expose me to, oh, that was a pun, that was not intended, but that's what worked to expose me to like the fact that my body is shared by lots of different people. Lots of people have the same belly as me, or the same legs, or the same feet. Actually, isn't that how we met? Didn't I message you and I was like, we have the same feet, what kind of sandals do you wear?
Yes, exactly.
So it's that kind of thing. Like, I never would have known, girl, and I rock my Birkenstocks daily now. So thank you, boo.
You're welcome. I'm so glad I can spread the gospel of Birkenstock, because I wear them every single day.
It's honestly sometimes the only thing that fits me. And like, I have such, I will totally admit my envy for massive women that have these tiny dainty feet. Like, I do not know how y'all are doing it, but my feet, I joke around and call them, like, they look like baked potatoes. And so I had thought, honestly, I was in such desperation. I was like, I'm going to get some kicks on the internet that are like, you know, those shoes for like very elderly people who have diabetes that are just like, it's essentially like a pillow with Velcro straps on them.
Yes.
I was like, I'm just going to get those and wear them around and fuck it. I don't care anymore, because I can't find shoes that fit my feet. And then I saw your post and I was like, oh my God, we have the same feet and she's wearing shoes. Like, please help me. So see, it works. It helps people.
Totally. Yeah, tons of people ask me about what I'm wearing and like where I get my clothes and stuff. And like, the number of like supersize and infinifat women that don't know that Torrid fits them, it's, and I would like, I would not have anything to wear if I didn't have Torrid.
Oh,
so
no.
Like, I don't know what these women are doing, but every time somebody's like, oh, I didn't know that Torrid, like a Torrid size 5 or size 6 would fit me.
Yes.
I'm like, girl, like, your world is about to open up, because even though Torrid's selection is like limited to floral dresses, like, yes, at least you get the floral dresses.
Get a mad floral print. Yeah. No, and I keep telling people, like, if they, like, every time I get a little bit of extra money, I go ahead and buy a couple pair of leggings from them, because I need, like, these save my life. I wear them to sleep. I wear them under dresses. I wear them constantly. So
yep,
they're my main jam. But yeah, I think, I had just moved. I moved out of state for a few years, and I had moved to New Orleans, and we went to a mall, and I went into a Torrid with my girlfriends, who are both like plus size, but they're not as nearly as big as me. And mm-hmm. we went into Torrid and I was like, oh, like I have to go into a store where I don't fit again. And so I walked in and I saw that they actually had some clothes in my size. So I was able to, for the first time in almost a decade, try clothes on in an actual store. So yeah. I will sing their gospel, their overpriced gospel for the rest
totally,
of my life.
Totally. Yeah. And like, and it's still like very disappointing that they don't carry a lot of fives or any sixes in stores. And like, every once in a while, I write them a letter to just be like, hey, you should really do this.
I know.
And like, just being at them. And I feel like they're going to go that way. And I feel like, I think that fortunately, like, this is a turning point in fat fashion. And I think that like more companies are going to start offering higher size ranges. Like, I think Universal Standard is, well, Universal Standard has the biggest size range that exists. And I think that they're like pushing companies like Torrid, because Universal Standard is also very expensive. So I think that they're going to be pushing places like Torrid to expand sizing. And yeah. like the Torrid dresses and stuff in size 6 fit me, but like, I just want some fucking pants that fit. Like,
yeah.
And it does not exist. So hopefully, if Torrid started making jeans that were like, I just want them to go up to like a 34 or 36. Like, if they could go that far, it would make such a huge difference for so many people.
I think that people don't think about that too. Like, I mean, how, like you said, you knew a lot of people that weren't shopping at Torrid, but like, what do you wear out? Like, if I can't find shoes that fit my feet, like, what do y'all expect me to wear out in the snow and in the rain?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
yeah.
I can't just wear flip-flops out because your shoes are not wide enough to fit my little potato feet. Like,
no, totally.
I mean, I can't
That's,
get my
and
feet
it's
off.
Like a, yeah, it's like an ongoing issue. And like, I live in Niagara Falls, New York. Like,
yeah,
it gets very snowy here. And like every winter I start to freak out because it's like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mostly just stay inside, which is probably part of the reason my neighbors thought I was dead, because
that
I don't go outside
wild.
In the winter.
I cannot believe. Listen, if somebody knocks on my door, first of all, I would think it was the police, because I have an unreasonable and unfounded fear of incarceration. So every time
so do I.
On my door,
I always
I think
it's
getting...
something terrible.
I do. I'm like, I'm going to jail. I have not done anything wrong, but I know that's what they're here for. I would be so mad, but I don't answer my door, girl. I always like, I don't do it. So they would,
I don't
they
either. And like,
go to bed.
I have jokes. Well, and like, so I live in this, you know, old converted junior high.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very nice. And for the most part, like, it's very wide open and I don't even see anybody that often. But my one neighbor is like super annoying, annoying. And she'll just knock on my door for like dumb reasons. Like one time she knocked on my door because she got like a hang tag from like UPS and she didn't know what to do. Like she didn't know, you know, that you can go online and track it. Like she had no idea about any of that stuff. So she knocked on my door and like the apartments are pretty soundproof. But when you're standing at the door, like you can hear what's going on in the apartment and they can hear you. So I'm like sitting on my couch, like just listening to some music and working away. And she always does the shave and a haircut knock, like the dun, 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 dun. I hate it so much. And so that she knocked that knock and I was like, fuck. So then my immediate instinct is just to like stop moving and be silent.
Yeah, me too.
Like, and so I was joking with Travis when the next time he came over, I was like, I'm just going to start pretending I'm dead because like, I don't want people to bother me. Like, and now of course they actually think I was dead. So
I cannot believe, is it just because you're fat that they think that you've expired in your home?
I guess it must be because like literally that FedEx info notice was for the day before. And this was like 2 p.m. Like, so it was literally less than 24 hours before that I had missed this FedEx thing. And she was just like, oh, thank God. She's like, you know, we just worry. And I'm like,
we?
Who's we?
Girl,
yeah, first of all, who's we?
Uh-uh.
And secondly, I'm fine. Like, it's going to be fine. I just don't want to talk to you. Like,
Ash, she's got you on the prayer chain at church. There's a fat
girl
next door.
Definitely does. They just think that one day that they're going to have to call the police because I'm just going to be dead in here.
Oh my God. People are messed up. Oh my God. No, yeah, I would not like that.
Yeah. So yeah, in the winter, I just don't leave. Like, and thankfully, yeah. like I don't, I mean, I can, you know, have a job where I don't have to. And, you know, Travis has a car now, so he drives to me, so I don't even have to go, like, that's pick him awesome. Up from the bus or anything.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I, you know, avoid going out as much as possible in the winter because I am terrified of falling.
It sucks, yeah. Oh, I don't want to fall down because what's going to happen if I'm by myself? I mean, who's going to help me get back up? Or what if I've broken, hurt something? Or, I cannot tell you when the last time was that I had a coat that could fit me and, like, zip all the way up. Because even if they make them in my size, girl, I can't afford them. I'm not spending $200 on a coat just because it's for a fat person. Right. I just don't understand. Like you said, Universal Standard, when they came out that collection, which I know you did a podcast about, so I won't like go into crazy detail about what a disappointment that shit was. But I mean, I can't afford this stuff. Like I'm a working person and I live, you know, paycheck to paycheck. I live day to day. You know, even doing Uber, you know, my money is never guaranteed. I can make $300 in the same amount of time as I can make $80. It totally depends on, you know, how many people are asking for rides or if people are tipping me or, you know, how long their rides are and stuff. So it's just something that I have no control over. And to think that, actually to know that people are paying higher housing, that they're paying more for their health care, that they're paying out the ass for, you know, car and school loans and things like that. And to know all of that, to be fully aware, and then to know that these people of size are doing that thing and then to charge them that much for like just essential clothing is highway robbery.
Yeah. Yeah. For tank tops. Like, yeah, that's, and like, I know Universal Standard, like, they like intentionally started out as a higher end brand and it's like, and like, they're totally allowed to do that, but it's also like, but we don't have any other options. Like literally no one else goes to a size 40.
Yeah. And you cannot say you're accessible to a size 40 if people can't buy your, if people can't afford your clothes. That's, totally. That's a huge thing. So I mean, I know a lot of people that are, you know, plus size and they're doing it on the gram and killing it and getting free clothes or making enough money to get loads of plus size clothes. But I carefully consider every single piece before I purchase it. And if I don't, I sell it, boo. You know, I return it or I sell it. You've seen my sales. So
same. I have some things that I have to sell now.
Yeah.
If I was rich, I would keep these things, but I need money. So they got to go. Right.
And that's hard that, I mean, I think that speaks a lot to the plus size fashion industry, that's how we're getting our money right now. You know, that's how I paid car payments the past couple of times is by selling clothes. So, that's a lot. It's a lot. It's hard out here for us.
Thank you so much, Brittany, for being delightful and hysterical and so sweet. And I hope I get to hear from you again on the pod because you're amazing. Thank you, as always, to Big Fig for sponsoring, you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's episode. Hear more at cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com. Also, thank you to our Patreon patrons. The patron of the day is Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, for your support now and always. And if you would like to become a Patreon patron and support the show for as little as $1 an episode or $2 a month, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. Okay. Also, don't forget to follow on social media. Instagram is where I'm most active, though admittedly not that active just right now. But you can find all the links to all of the Fat Lip social media at the top of thefatlip.com. Also, if you have a few minutes and you are an iPhone user, if you could just give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be wonderful. Every rating and review makes us appear more easily in search results.
So I certainly appreciate that. I always say we, but it's only me. Okay. I hope you have this holiday, and I'm going to be back with a short little episode before the new year to announce a little bit of a change. But in the meantime, a very happy holiday. Very Merry Christmas if that's what you celebrate. And I will see you again soon. Bye.